This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our second installment in this What's Islam e-learning called The Women Around the Messenger, where we look and we discuss the lives, controversies, personalities of the women that the Prophet, peace be upon him, married and he spent with. These women, as we said, are our mothers, and we hope that through the teaching of this course, you'll get an intimate knowledge about these pious women, so that we can aspire to be like them, and that we may ultimately love the Prophet ﷺ through them. Ameen. In our first segment of this course, we began the story of Khadija, a woman who 1,500 years ago broke the mold, basically shattered the ceiling of what it meant to be a woman. In Arabia, we said women were not meant for anything more than marriage. The best she could do was to get married and be a devout wife. This was the best. At worst, she would even be inherited or sold or murdered even, and there was no repercussions to men because she was a commodity. And in spite of this, you find this powerful lady, Khadija bin Khuwailid, who became the wealthiest woman of Mecca. She ran her own business enterprise. In fact, she was perhaps the most successful business person in Mecca at the height of her empire. She was from the ruling aristocratic class of Mecca. She was beautiful, elegant, refined. The people of Mecca used to give her a nickname. She was called Al-Tahira, meaning the most pure one of Mecca, the purest of the women of Mecca. And they used to call her Amiratul Quraysh. Quraysh didn't have a royal family, but they would call her the Queen of Quraysh, because she was the number one woman in Mecca. And we said that after two marriages, one where her first husband had passed away, she had two kids, and a second husband, which ended, she no longer was interested in marrying any of the men in Mecca. None of them were suited enough for her, for who she was and what she deserved in a man, and therefore she had resigned herself, khalas, I'm not interested in the men of Mecca. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would of course change this when she would meet our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, he was 15 years junior to Khadija. So he was 15 years younger than she was. And the first Khadija radiallahu anha became aware of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was in his late teens, perhaps 16, 17 years old. And while the Prophet came from a noble family, he grew up from a very poor family. His parents, we know, had passed away, so he was an orphan. And he was raised by his uncle Abu Talib, who was himself a poor man because he had a big family. So he was a man with a big family. He didn't have much in ways of an income. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, grew up from very meager means. And therefore, as a way of earning income for the family, the Prophet ﷺ was a shepherd. This was his first profession. There's a beautiful hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says that every Nabi of Allah, every single Prophet of Allah, at some point in their life, they were sheep herders, they were shepherds. And this of course is a very important learning tool to become a Nabi. When you are looking after people, as a test you first have to see if you can look after animals. If you can't look after sheep, then I don't think you are ready to look after animals. And I always say that perhaps all the presidents of the earth, before they become presidents or kings or leaders, CEOs, they should first be looking after some animals and see how well they do before they look after people. So every Prophet of Allah was a shepherd, even our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in his teenage years, he was looking after sheep. And it so happened that he was one day looking after the sheep of Khadija's sister. Khadija's sister had a flock of sheep, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come and collect these sheep, and he would take them out to be grazed, to eat from the in the mountains, to eat from the greenery, and then the sheep were taken back at the end of the day, and he would earn a wage. The Prophet ﷺ had a friend who was with him, doing this kind of work, and at the end of the day, when Khadija's sister was about to hand out the wages of the day, the Prophet ﷺ was too shy to ask for his share of the wages, so he didn't come. Khadija was there, and her sister said to Khadija, you know, this young man, Muhammad, who looks after my sheep, I've never seen a worker, an employee quite like him. He's a very good guy. I've never seen someone with such great akhlaq, great character. He's the most trustworthy person I've met. He's the most shy. He's the most chaste. He's the most well-mannered employee I've ever met. And so this, of course, naturally put the Prophet, peace be upon him, on Khadija's mind. Now, Khadija is running a massive company in the context of Mecca. She is sending huge amounts of goods and commodity across the desert. So what her business would do, as we said in the last lecture, people would, she would collect goods from Yemen on her camels, and they would travel through the desert and all the way to Syria, and they would sell these goods, and they would pick up new goods and import it into Mecca and through to Yemen, back and forth. So this was her job. Of course, being a woman, she personally could not be transporting the camels through the desert. So what she depended on was a manager. She needed good managers who would be in charge of the caravan and as they would travel through the desert. Now, this was a problem for Khadija, because you needed, number one, a very skilled, competent caravan manager. And you have to look after the animals, you need to look after the goods. There are bandits in the desert, there are many, many dangers along the way. So you need a very smart, a very competent person. Also, those and the other risk that she had was, those managers that were smart and competent, they were also a bit too smart in the sense that they would cheat. They would steal from her, they would take business opportunities away from her, and they would pocket the money themselves. So she was always looking for talent. She was always looking for someone that she could employ as a manager. And as the Prophet ﷺ grew up, he was now in his early teenagers, maybe 20, 21, 22. Khadija, being 15 years older, she was in her late 30s. She basically heard about the Prophet ﷺ, his reputation grew as being a competent man, as being a strong man, as being also a very, very trustworthy man. And perhaps, you know, if you have an image of Khadija in your mind, it would be nice to have an image of the Prophet ﷺ. What did the Prophet ﷺ look like? The Sahaba tell us that, you know, when we looked at him, there was no one quite like him. That once a Sahabi looked at the full moon, and how beautiful it was shining, and then he looked at the Prophet ﷺ and he says, Wallahi, I tell you, you know, that there was no comparison between the two, because our Prophet, peace be upon him, looked even more beautiful and luminous than the moon. The Prophet ﷺ, physically, he was a strong man. He was not very tall. He was of medium to slightly above average height. He had masculine arms, shoulders, chest, well-refined and defined muscles. I think in our days, the term would be he was quite ripped. That's how he would be described. Didn't have much hair on his body. His skin was very, very smooth without any hair. Yet his face, his features were warm and welcoming. And of course, the thing that all the Sahaba mentioned about him was that loving smile. Never did we see him except that he had a smile on his face and his eyes. You know, he was always smiling and his eyes were always sort of downcast, looking down, reflective in contemplation. This was the kind of, you know, image you got from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man who didn't speak very much, but when he did speak, it was always profound, and of course, always honest, always correct in what he said. So Khadija radiallahu anha, she basically made a business, she offered him a contract. She told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've heard about you, I'm quite keen for you to be employed as one of my managers. Would you like to take the job and take my caravan? I need my caravan to be taken to Syria and to bring it back. So you've got a business opportunity. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, no problem. He agreed to the job. He needed the income. And remember, as we said, this is before he was a prophet. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was still a young man. He wasn't a Nabi of Allah. He was just a man before, this is before he received the revelation in his early 20s. So Khadija told him, you will be in charge. You are the manager of my caravan through the desert. You are my agent. Whatever you do, you in charge. And I'm going to send with you another person called Maysara. Maysara is my slave, Khadija's slave. He will be there to document. He's just there to take down minutes, basically. He's going to look at what you do. He will discuss with you, but Maysara will report back to me. So Maysara is there to keep watch on you. The Prophet ﷺ said, no problem. And so the caravan went out. The Prophet ﷺ was in charge of a caravan. They passed through the desert. They went to Syria. The goods were offloaded, they were sold. It's not just transporting the goods. The Prophet ﷺ had to be in charge of selling the goods, making an income, and then purchasing goods that would make a profit, or profit with an F here, an income, that would be beneficial to Khadija. And so therefore he had to make many, many business decisions. Finally, after, you know, a couple of months, so this would be 2-3 months journey, when the Prophet ﷺ returned back to Mecca, Khadija was so surprised because this caravan had made the biggest income of any of her journeys before. She made a huge income. The Prophet ﷺ made a huge income for her. And she wanted to know what happened. So she told her servant, Maysara, I need to speak to you. You need to tell me exactly how Muhammad, what happened. So Maysara says to her, to Khadija, that I swear by Allah, I have never seen a manager, I've never seen a man quite like this man. That he is the most competent, honest, kind, trustworthy manager or employee we've ever dealt with. He even takes the time when we journeying through the desert, there'd be a time for the slaves who were part of the caravan, they would get their share of rest. Even the animals, even the camels, he would respect them, he would care for them, he would personally look after all of them. And when he came to business, he was very smart. He was very quick to understand an opportunity. He never lied. He never cheated anybody. He never inflated prices. He never, sold defective goods. He was very open and honest. Yet at the same time, he was very quick and smart. When he came to take an opportunity, when he saw a good opportunity, he was able to take it. And every single cent, of course, that he earned, nothing went into his pocket. It was returned to Khadija completely. So this was the beginning this was the first arrow that was shot into the heart of Khadija. She now found a very competent, a rising star, basically, amongst her staff. Her young manager was now perhaps her most competent and trusted employee. And as time went on, and I imagine our mother Khadija, she started spending more time with her young manager. She started having business meetings more than was perhaps required. And slowly but surely in Khadija's heart, something crept in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put that affection for the Prophet in her heart. And Khadija, the kind of woman that she was very smart and very astute at recognizing potential. And she was a good woman. And she would recognize the goodness in others. And she was perhaps the first person that truly recognized that the Prophet ﷺ was not an ordinary man, that there was something very special about him. And she found herself unable to resist being near to him. So, as our sisters, all of you have what we call a BFF, a best friend, a very, very close confidant, who we tell all our secrets to. Khadija had a friend like this, Nafisa. And Khadija could not hide from her friend that she had some feelings for the Prophet ﷺ. She began to smile maybe a little more. She began to daydream a little more. She began spending more time with her manager. So Nafisa noticed this, and Nafisa said to Khadija, what's going on between you and your manager Muhammad? Right? And Khadija, she's obviously in her 40s almost. She's late 30s. The Prophet ﷺ being in his mid-20s. Khadija basically confessed to a friend that, look, I'm beginning to develop feelings for this man. Yes, I had said I'm never going to marry again. I was done with the men of Makkah. But here I find myself thinking about this man. And, subhanAllah, I feel like he's something very special. So, Nafisa, and we always have this friend that encourages us to do things. Sometimes it's to be brave. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. Nafisa encouraged Khadija, well, if this is what you want, why don't you go for it? Why should you be worried? You are Khadija, you don't answer to anybody. If you want this man, then go ahead and be brave and speak to him. So Khadija says, I can't, she's still a lady at the end of the day. She's still shy. Even though she's the boss, she says, I'm not able to speak to him directly like that. I can't tell him that I have feelings for him. What if he doesn't have feelings for me? SubhanAllah, we see that this is, these are the greatest people on earth, but they're still people. They still fear feeling rejected. They still feel, she's almost 40. She's a millionaire basically in her context, but the fear of rejection is normal. So she told her friend Nafisa, would you go and speak to him, find out how he feels about me, and if he does feel the same way about me, then would he be interested in getting married? So Nafisa, this lady, she goes to the Prophet ﷺ and she speaks, hypotheticals. Hypothetically, Muhammad, why are you, and she actually asks him this, you're 25, why are you not married? This is another problem that we have today. A sister, for example, she'll be looking for a husband, and she finds the guy. He's like perfect age. He looks good. He's successful. He's got good qualities. Everything ticks the box, and now you're even more concerned because why is he not married? If everything is right and he's still single, that's even more concerning. So in the time of Arabia, you probably got married when you're about 15, 14. This was normal marriage age. The Prophet ﷺ is 25 and he's still not married. So it's like, what's wrong with you? Is there some issue? So Nafisa asked him, very frankly, why are you still not married, Muhammad? You're 25, you've got a good family, you've got an income, you've got a business, you've got a job, why are you not married? So the Prophet ﷺ said to her that, I don't feel I'm yet ready by the means to look after a wife. Now, pause for a minute here. In Arabia, there were no rules. There was no such thing as nafaqa where you had to, or maintenance. You married a woman and you treated her how you wanted to. In fact, the Arabs at that time, they would eat first, and whatever was left would be for their wives and their kids. So there was no minimum requirement to get married. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ felt in himself that if I'm going to marry a woman, I would like to care for her. And he felt he was not ready to give her the kind of care that was deserving to a wife. So when he said that, Nafisa said, well, hypothetically, what if there is somebody that doesn't need you to financially look after her? Would you be interested in someone like that? The Prophet ﷺ said, don't beat around the bush. If you've got something to say, tell me what exactly are you talking about. So Nafisa says, what do you think of Khadija? Prophet ﷺ is quite surprised and quite shocked. He's like, Khadija, is she really interested in me? And Nafisa says, yes, Khadija is quite interested in you. And of course, Khadija being a wealthy woman, she doesn't need you to physically, financially look after her, but are you interested in her? And Prophet said, of course I would be. That you can't do better than Khadija. She's got everything you would want in a wife. She's the perfect, basically as perfect as a woman comes. And that if Khadija really was interested in him, then he's also spent time with her. He was also naturally got to know her. He's also enjoying her company, that he would be very keen in marrying her. Perhaps the reason why the Prophet ﷺ was not yet married was because he felt also, would he be good enough for Khadija? And here she proposes to him basically. So it's, in today's day and age, it's very odd for a woman to propose to a man. In that time it must have been even stranger. But as we get to know Khadija, she is the trendsetter. She is the one that is not afraid to go after the things that she wants. She's not afraid about what family pressure would do, what would be, if it's good for her, if it's the right thing to do, then she's willing to do it. And therefore she basically proposes to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, yes, I accept the proposal on condition that I can just, I want the blessings of my uncle Abu Talib who raised me. And when he spoke to Abu Talib, Abu Talib of course was more than happy to bless the marriage. And he said, of course, this is what, Khadija is a good choice. She's a noble woman that, with all my blessings, my son, please, go ahead and get married. So now, alhamdulillah, the Prophet ﷺ, at the age of 25, he marries Khadija, who is now 40 years old. So there's a 15-year gap between the two of them. The Prophet, this would be the first of his wives, Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija, of course, this is her third husband. The Prophet ﷺ is her third husband. She already had, as we see, two kids from a previous marriage, Hala being her son, and she had a younger daughter. And just something in terms of a timeline. The Prophet is 25 years old. Khadija is 40 years old, according to the most accepted narration. And they would be married, they would be married for another 25 years. They would be married together for 25 years, just exclusively the two of them. The Prophet ﷺ would never ever marry another woman along with Khadija. So for 25 years, the two of them would be married. Of that 25 years, the first 15, and maybe you should write this down, the first of the 25 years they were married, the first 15 was before the Nabi became a Prophet ﷺ. So he was just a husband to Khadija for those first 15 years. The last 10 years of their marriage, he would be a Prophet. And it's in these 15 years, and we'll talk about, that's our topic of the next discussion, the years in which the Prophet married Khadija until just before he received revelation, before he was selected to be a Nabi, those 15 years were perhaps the happiest, most joyous, most loving years of his life. It was being those 15 years where the Prophet ﷺ would have his seven children, he had seven children with Khadija, he would be a father, he would run a household, he would, Khadija and him would be in such, they would have such a deep and romantic bond that throughout his life, up until basically the moment he died, he would always remember Khadija. Khadija would be the one that really, really, there's a special place in his heart which belonged to Khadija. And it'll be in these 15 years that they would live in happiness and joy. These would be the happiest years of his life. His house would be filled with children, most of them being girls, so the house is very busy. He would see one of his daughters growing up and being married. He would also raise a few other kids, Khadija's, his stepkids, basically, Khadija's previous marriage. And of course, there will be two special young men that also got the opportunity to be raised by the Prophet ﷺ. So we'll talk about those 15 years in the household of Khadija, the best years of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, in our next clip, inshallah. Jazakallah, thank you for joining us. We hope to speak to you soon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.